From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with his study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Argument of Paul in Romans. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. In this message, Dr. Cairns has been explaining the great need sinners have before a holy God, a need which they have no power to generate or earn on their own. God requires a perfect righteousness. His requirement is absolute obedience to His law. And no man who ever lived or will live has been able to measure up to this standard except one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can supply what sinners need to have a right standing before God. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Perfect Purity. The text is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Warrior of the cross, fight on! Never rest till thy victory is complete, for thine eternal reward will prove worthy of a life of warfare. See, here is perfect purity for thee. A few in Sardis kept their garments undefiled, and their recompense is to be spotless. Perfect holiness is the prize of our high calling. Let us not miss it. See, here is joy. Thou shalt wear holiday robes, such as men put on at wedding feasts. Thou shalt be clothed with gladness and made bright with rejoicing. Painful struggles shall end in peace of conscience and joy in the Lord. See, here is victory. Thou shalt have thy triumph. Palm and crown and white robe shall be thy guerdon. Thou shalt be treated as a conqueror and owned as such by the Lord Himself. See, here is priestly array. Thou shalt stand before the Lord in such raiment as the sons of Aaron wore. Thou shalt offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and draw near unto the Lord with the incense of praise. Who would not fight for a Lord who gives such large honors to the very least of His faithful servants? Who would not be clothed in a fool's coat for Christ's sake, seeing He will robe us with glory?
Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. This and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Alan Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
unless you have a righteousness that is perfect as God is perfect, as absolutely pure as God is absolutely pure, on the authority of that book, I tell you, you'll never be in heaven. That's the need. The second great part of the epistle, chapter 3, 21 to chapter 5, 21, is how God meets this need. And especially in a part of the passage we read tonight, in chapter 3, from verse 24 through to verse 28. Now understand that here he sets forth God's way of meeting the need. And what is God's answer? He speaks of Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth. Paul says you need a perfect righteousness. Let me introduce you to him who is the righteous one. God has set forth Jesus Christ. This is the heart of the gospel. Christ is the gospel. As I said this morning, he is not only the messenger, he is the message. He is not only the truth bearer, he is the truth. He is the gospel. He has set forth Christ. And he set forth Christ as the means of our justification. Now, justification is the big issue. Not just pardon. And I don't mean to demean pardon. Pardon is a part of justification. It is an element within justification. It's an element you can't do without. One of the sweetest things in all the Bible. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Unto you is preached the forgiveness of sins. That is the music of heaven amid the trials and troubles of earth. It's a wonderful message. It's not just forgiveness. It's justification, which is an act of the free grace of God, wherein he pardons all our sins. But then he does something else. And he accepts us as righteous in his sight, only on the ground of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, made over to our account, and received by faith alone. Justification is the issue. How does God go about taking an ungodly sinner and placing him in a standing whereby from the judgment throne of heaven, the judge says, righteous, not just innocent, not just acquitted, but righteous. How does God do that? This is the bone that sticks in the throat of Roman Catholic theologians. Council of Trent could not grasp this. And the criticism that Rome has always made of the Reformed doctrine of justification is that it makes God either a liar or a play actor. Because God is saying to an ungodly sinner, you're righteous, when he's still a sinner. They couldn't understand Luther's great dictum, and I'll not bother you with the little Latin phrase. These are things that they love in little Latin phrases. First, because it makes the preacher sound more learned than he is. And second, that it keeps them sort of brief and encapsulated. But Luther's great dictum was, at one and the same time, a sinner and yet justified. How can that be? You see, what we're getting to now is that while in due course, as we'll see as we go through the argument, Paul gets to the change of nature and the change of life and sanctification and all that there. Fundamentally, the gospel is dealing in justification not with a change of nature but a change of legal standing. How does God, the holy, righteous, truthful judge, look at an ungodly sinner and ever pronounce him righteous? That's the question that the gospel answers. And Paul tells us, well, first of all, he does it freely. The word freely, translated in Romans 3:24, you'll find is the same word that's translated without a cause when they hated Christ without a cause. It's gratuitously. Without a cause. In other words, when God justifies you or me, it's not because of anything, anything you did, where, could become, or could do. It's not because of righteousness done or foreseen. It's without a cause in you. Freely. It's gratuitous justification. And then it's gracious justification. It is by grace. It is by divine favor. Now, how does the divine favor operate here? Well, it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He's saying that there is some way, by means of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God can deal with a sinner's sinful standing before God and pronounce that sinner righteous. So how does he do it? How does the redemptive work of Christ do this? Well, he does this by becoming a propitiation. Notice that word in Romans 3:25. Many modern versions like to change the word. This is one of those theological terms that must not be changed. If people don't understand it, well, it's up to us to teach them. Okay, it has more than one syllable. But let's not dumb down the Bible till it loses its meaning entirely. Propitiation is a sacrifice unto God to appease the wrath of God against sin, to put that away. It is a sacrifice by the blood of which we can meet God not at a throne of judgment, but at the mercy seat. That's propitiation. It is bringing God and man together so that God accepts the believing sinner on the merits of Christ's atonement. Now this propitiation is in his blood. It is in the blood shedding of Calvary. I love the old blood theology, and so did the Apostle Paul. Blood, precious blood. We were singing that hymn tonight. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Thank God for that. Thank God there's power in the blood to satisfy God, to justify sinners. Romans 5:9, we're justified by his blood. So it's through this propitiation, through this blood-shedding sacrifice. But how does that happen? Well, let me make this clear to you. The value of this propitiation by the shedding of blood depends on the virtue of the life of the one who makes the sacrifice. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the blood, by virtue of that life, that makes atonement. That's why in Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, we have this great statement, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. And verse 19, by the obedience of one, many shall be made, or, if you'd like it, constituted righteous before God. This is the wonder of this. Now let's put it all together. According to Romans 5, the righteous obedience of Christ constitutes believers as righteously obedient to God. All the merits of the obedience of Christ are transferred to His people. I like to put it that in His life, He kept the precept of God's law. And in His death, He paid the penalty for the broken law. And in life and death, He has created a perfect righteousness and obedience to the law. I said God didn't lower the standard, neither He did. Christ fulfilled the standard to the ultimate degree. And that perfect righteousness is made over to the name of His people. But how can that be? How can that be? If you sin, you go out and kill somebody tonight, and I say, well, that man has a wife and four children, and they need him. I go to the electric chair in his place. If the law allowed that, the law would be as big a murderer as you. There'd be no justice there whatsoever. So how can Christ die in our place? How can He live in our place? You see, here's the difference. You and I are completely different, isolated individuals. We each stand or fall before the law in our own person. Remember what I said last week? There are only two great men that God ever really deals with in the world. Adam and Christ. He is a public person. He is the head of His people. And I put it this way. Your hand sins. There's no possible injustice in your head suffering for that sin. We are one with Christ, head and body. The body has sinned, and the head has paid the price. The head has perfectly obeyed the law, and the body reaps all the benefit. This is the beauty of God's way of salvation. We need a perfect righteousness, not a patched up job. We need a perfect, sinless, spotless righteousness that a holy God can find nothing wrong with. Where will we find it? In Jesus Christ. That's why this righteousness is received by faith alone, in Jesus Christ. And that wonderful news leads up to this tremendous explosion from the apostle at the end of Romans chapter 5 as he deals with this section. He says, as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Or as he puts it in verse 20, where sin abounded, grace superabounded. Now that's his argument. You have a great need? Well, here's God's answer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.